you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Property and justice for all.
Good morning, Bill.
Minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need to approve the minutes of July 6th. I apologize.
Motion, Mullen.
Second, Van Kessel.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Yes, I was waiting for the.
Sorry.
Not a problem at all. So the hopefully everyone received, I did send out yesterday the YDP allocations that are being recommended by the youth board. They are so late, as I explained, they just approved them on Monday. It's just the way that they meet every other month. So this was the best timing. Very few changes for those for this year, just slight adjustments in some programs. Fred pointed out, and I appreciate it, I missed the change in the dates at the top. So just to clarify, these are 2022 amounts, January through December. The state has done it this way for years. They don't approve those amounts until they approve the budget in April, May. And so the programs are already behind the eight ball before the state budget is even approved. So we would be reimbursing the amounts that are listed to them for expenses. At least they have to provide it. We can do no more than 50% of the cost of the program. So there's 100% match, but in most cases it's well beyond 100%. And then we would then reimburse this or get reimbursed by the state.
Motion, Mullen.
Second, Hannah.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Just one other plug, and I put it in that email back yesterday. It is, they are looking to adjust the calendar year. I believe in this current coming budget, they're going to budget to that would get in 2023. They're going to initially approve January through September. And then create a separate amount that would go December through the rest of the, or through the rest of the year, and then pick up and approve. So it basically, they would be approving in April and May what would start being spent in October. So that would be a great help.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning.
As I do every year, I am seeking approval for the expenditures for our senior forum that happens in September, up to $1,600. It's an event catered by ProAction, and it's here in Bath at the Presbyterian Church, and the purpose is the public hearing that we're required to have for aging services for the coming year.
Motion, Mullen.
Second, Cool.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fanny. Morning.
Morning. I apologize for my first item because we have to talk about snow plowing. It's important to note that these contracts not only cover my department, but they're also for buildings and grounds as well. So looking to get your permission to enter into contract with Cars Trucking. Excuse me, Cars Trucking and Snow Removal. They're requesting $275 per plow, including salt, hand shoveling for our Corning office on Denison Parkway. They're also requesting $460 per plow, including salt, hand shoveling at the DMV location and painted post. Contract not to exceed $30,000. Both our departments have money in the budget to cover the expense.
Motion.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The second snow plow contract is TP's Concrete and Contracting, Dave Parks, located over in Hornell. They're looking for $135 per plow, including salt and shoveling, for our Hornell office on Seneca Road North. They're also looking for $120 per plow, including the salt and shoveling at the DMV probation lot on Seneca Road North. Contract not to exceed $10,000.
Are these, seems like there's quite a bit of difference in the pricing between these two companies. Have we put these out to bid? Do they go out to bid every year, or has it been a while?
It's been several years since an RFP went out. The main discrepancy is just the size of the lots and how much hand shoveling has to be done. To use our Corning office as an example, it's a small lot, but most of that has to be done manually. So there's increased costs.
I have no idea what the averages are in terms of snow plowing.
Well, just to give you some perspective, these prices that they're quoting are a little more than twice of what they were last year. And it's our understanding through them, it's largely due to the fuel increase in fuel expense as well as labor costs. You know, they're paying folks more, trying to retain people to do the plowing, do the shoveling.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Did we have a motion?
No.
We didn't have one for that. We have a motion then.
Motion. Cool.
Second, Mullen.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Great. Thank you. My last item has to do with the opioid settlement funding. I sent an email out to all of you last week, Thursday. It was just an update to the list of recommendations that I had sent to you previous to that. We had a request from Family Services that I wanted to add to the list. Family Services is requesting $37,000 to hire a substance abuse counselor that would be working with to work 25 hours a week, provide substance abuse prevention counseling as well as supportive services. They'd be working with teens and young adults. This would be all located at their youth center that's on 79 Flint Avenue in Corning. I think this is a really good idea. I mean, they have lots of good activities for kids and teenagers at the youth center, and to be able to add to just activities, a social component, to be able to add more of a treatment, prevention, education, I think is a good thing. I think it would be money well spent. So if you haven't looked at that email that I sent out yet, I put them at number 4 of 6 agencies that we have requests from. Any questions?
Yeah. Do you happen to know, do they have somebody in mind? Just in terms of how hard it might be to get somebody, is that price like
that? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know if they have somebody that's already a member of staff or if they have to recruit someone, but I can certainly reach out to the director and ask.
It's not dependent on what we decide to do, but just wondering. Thank you.
The Corning Area Youth Center is an excellent facility. They do a lot for the kids in the area there. It's a place they can go after school, get a meal. Yeah, I support that one through my United Way every year. So
nice.
Okay, we're going to, if there's any other questions, we'll just do these separately. Oh, John, I'm sorry.
Just refresh my memory. What's the total that we're anticipating from the opioid settlement?
Sure. So as of the end of last month, we had $316,000 and change on hand. We anticipate $678,000 and change by the end of the year. And then it'll be a much slower trickle of funds coming in based on these current settlements. Now we have some outstanding, but based on these current settlements, you know, you can expect $100,000-ish a year probably.
So these proposals sitting out there are a one-time shot. This is not an ongoing situation that will be coming out.
Well,
opioid. Casa Trinity is an ongoing situation.
Well, I'm saying for the opioid funds, because this 1 year we're going to have $670,000. After that, it's going to be diminished. So I'm assuming this is a one-time shot for 2022. And then after that, it's reevaluated.
It would, you'd have to reevaluate it for local cost share. Now I would say, you know, the first proposal, adding staff to our existing, it's essentially filling unfunded vacancies. It's staff that we've had in the past that we just haven't filled in a while. You know, that's something that to defund that you certainly could, but if people are in those positions, that would be different than what the legislature has done previously. You know,
well, I'm looking at like this $175,000 for this recreational situation. That's a one-time funding, I'm assuming.
That would be, you know, when Hank and I talked, that's kind of the expectation that we set. My understanding for these folks is, you know, this money is front loaded. So we have, you know, essentially one allocation, and just like any outside organization, they could submit next year for additional, or in a year whenever that funding expires, but that would essentially be local costs. Now you will be able to carry, you know, like I said, roughly $100,000 in your budget, you know, as a revenue stream, but where you allocate that to is completely up to you. You could allocate it to offset the cost of number one of our staff. But yes, generally, yes. One time.
And with the list that you would ask me to create with in terms of priority, how I approached that was from a sustainability end. So to use that one that you referenced, John, is number six. It's the last on the list because you know, the services that would be provided aren't billable. So, you know, you'd question sustainability for the long run. All the other ones above that, other than the Catholic Charities Opioid Committee, all the other ones provide billable services. So they'd be able to help support themselves in the future. The funding, the upfront funding would help with startup costs, get things going off the ground.
Gary?
So in the negotiation, are they aware that this is a one-time possible shot?
Yes. Yeah, I've made that clear to everybody that's reached out to me and made the request that I said that this would most likely just be a one-time funding opportunity.
Okay. Thank you.
Ellen?
I was wondering if the Family Services Society, the 37,000, is that the position that we funded out of ARPA funds last year?
Not that I'm aware of.
Didn't we? Who was the, we did a peer advocate out of ARPA funds last year.
That was with the opioid committee.
Okay. And so they're not asking for additional funding for that, or is that their funding that we're giving them in number two?
It's that. Well, it's a combination of both, because they have they have other costs related to that the committee uses for overhead for administration that is in that 41 that was 37 last year, and also the peer recovery advocate. So it's a little bit commingled, but in my view, this request kind of should take care of the whole thing.
And then if we fund Casa Trinity's 40,000 out of opioid money, then we've been funding 40,000 out of just county cost money. Is that right?
Yep.
Right. Okay.
So that's not really an incremental.
Right.
And the Catholic Charities is only an incremental by $3,700 over what was previously funded.
Right.
But that also has been coming. Well, part of something came out of ARPA last year, but we've been giving them money all along anyway. Is that right?
After the grant expired 2 years ago, they had that federal grant and that was not renewed. So about 2 years ago, that third, I think it started at 35, then 37 was funded by from local dollars.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, those grant cycles run, I think, 5 year,
yep.
4 or 5 year periods. Hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Aaron.
Yeah. Dr. Chapman, the stuff with CASA, Trinity, do you have any concerns about how well their overall sort of company is operating when they're in, you know, sort of the deficits and whatnot that they're in? It seems like from looking at some of the comments here that, you know, some of the other companies are able to get reimbursement, but they're running things at deficits. And I don't know if it's because it's different programs or, so I just like to pick your brain on that.
It's largely due to the difference in programs. I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say I didn't have concerns, but a lot of these things in terms of the deficit with inpatient were pandemic related. So there were certain restrictions that were placed on them, you know, because of COVID. They had difficulties with staffing, not unlike most other agencies, including ourselves. So there's a combination of things that contributed to them running in a deficit inpatient. They had to limit the number of people that could be on the unit at any one time. So, you know, all those things in combination lead to less revenue being generated and brought in. My expectation, my sense is as things continue to normalize, they should see increased revenues, and that program should come closer to supporting itself, if not, you know, doing just so.
Yeah, because my biggest concern looking at this list is the last one, the $175,000 for a recovery center. And, you know, I think it would be an awkward position for us if we put $175,000 in it, they get a center up and running. And then what's the expectation moving forward if they have a physical plant, and what's the ongoing income situation? It seems like maybe we need a little more data on whether that's a good decision to get into up front.
Yeah, and I agree with you with that, Aaron. That's actually with these requests, you know, that's the primary reason why I put that 6 on the list. You know, whether or not we choose to fund that at all is, you know, still open to debate. That program would be very helpful. It's been helpful. They have a program already up and running in Livingston County, and over 200 some folks, DeBend County residents, if I remember correctly, participated in that because of the overlap between the two counties. But, you know, with that said, do we really need to have that program in Steuben County in an ideal world? You know, yes, but in reality, do we need it? You could question that. And in terms of sustainability, we'd have to talk to Ann Domingos more about that, but I would assume that program would continue to run in the future by staff that they would already have hired, perhaps would have other role responsibilities somewhere else in their agency as well. It wouldn't just be this.
So with respect to these ideas for how funding would work and requests and whatnot, what is the sort of urgency or time frame within which we should be making these decisions on granting this funding?
Actually, I defer part of that question to Jack. I'm not familiar enough with the rules. If when we get this money, if it has to be used by the end of this year, or if it can be turned over into what we don't use this current year can go into 2023.
Yeah. So I haven't seen anything, and Jen can correct me, that says a specific timeline of when you have to spend down each payment. The expectation that we've heard from the state is to, once you identify good projects or needs, to get the money out the door. So not to delay. And most counties are in process with this right now in some form. A lot of counties have already made some allocations. Some are on the cusp of doing so, but everyone's kind of where you are right now. I guess if you're looking for a recommendation, I would say, if you're supportive of number one, I think at least that is a good way to get rolling, and that would have a direct impact upon operations right away. And that would start getting money rolling. So if the state ever came in and said, what are you doing with this? We could show them the spend down in a pretty significant way that increases services. Past that, kind of up to you.
Yeah, and I'd like to clarify that I just wanted to make sure you were all aware of the agencies that made requests, the six. So with that said, it doesn't necessarily mean that I support us funding all of them. I mean, I gave recommendations in terms of how we would give priority to that if you all choose to to fund each and every one. But certainly, you know, if that's not decided that you're going to fund all of them, then my recommendations, you know, in terms of who gets priority would be what I put in the email to you.
Well, my personal opinion on these is we all know that we have, you know, societal issues with these things that they're seeking to address. We have, you know, the opioid settlement funds coming in, and I'm generally comfortable with these ideas. And, you know, I would be okay with 1, 2, and 3, and 4 really. But I think that maybe we could hold off on even 3 and have CASA come in and give us an overview and more detail on what they would seek to do with 3 through 6. 3, 5, and 6, the 3 that they're involved with. That's kind of how I feel about it. And see, like, what do you see long term? How, you know, what's your plan that you have in place for spending, you know, for using this $275,000, and what does that look like?
Yeah, well, as you might recall, we had Ann come in and speak before the full board meeting just the other week, and she provided some of that information. But I think I'm safe to say not in, she didn't elaborate a lot in terms of just those 3 like you're you're asking about.
Yeah, I think she gave us a good overview. What we could do is ask for specific programs that you might be interested in to have her give us more detail there. But I thought she did a great job of presenting. Oh, okay.
Sorry. I wasn't here, but I'm interested specifically in those 3.
I think it's a good idea to get some more specifics because the settlements are all via court and there are restrictions on them. So I personally legally would like to see something in writing as to, so we can bucket it restricted, unrestricted, and have it in the record as to we've complied with the settlement agreements.
Even with the other ones then, other than CASA, a little more?
I think the others, I mean, we have a little bit of restrictions on these. So
yeah,
I just want to make sure that we're compliant with that because it is via federal court litigation.
I think number one, you're perfectly clear on. Because,
that one's good.
Yeah, I think number 2 actually as well, because, you know, you would, at budget time, you would decide to fund it or not to fund it. This would provide them, and that directly supports opioid prevention efforts. And then I think number 4 is a pretty clear one too, because that's an incremental change that we could pretty well justify. The rest, you know, probably more detail.
Yeah.
All right. I'll move 1, 2, and 4.
Second that.
Any other questions, John?
As far as some of these requests, are these an upfront one-time shot where you just write them a check like a grant, or is this reimbursed based on actual performance?
Yeah, we have historically, anytime you've made an allocation, I mean, we've done 2 payments in a year or something like that, but generally once you approve an allocation to an agency, the contract is approved. Sometimes there are performance, but like you will do this if they are, you know, attesting to something like, you know, number 4, you know, upon successful hiring, you know, they would prove that they did those things, but we'd cut the check.
Well, I think my biggest concern is the $175,000 allocation. That's going to a situation in Livingston County. How do we know that the Steuben County residents are getting that support that this $175,000 is allocated
for? You need a lot more detail on that.
And just to clarify, that one, they want to replicate the program and have it based in Steuben County. So they want to replicate what they have in Livingston.
And that's not one of the ones that we have the motion on currently, John, too. That's one of the ones we requested more.
Other point sitting out there is that we got an audit report from Casa Trinity sitting out there. If you look at that audit report, it showed a fairly large surplus in the last 2 years. So where this deficit is coming from, I have no idea, only that you mentioned it at the last meeting sitting out there. But the audit report doesn't reflect that.
Yeah, the $1.4 million PPP helped them. But that's why I also wanted to ask her questions, because the claim that they're operating at a deficit, and you said, well, how can they continue? They do have a surplus.
Yeah.
Right.
So that could be part of the discussion on.
Yeah, I think my opinion on number three, and Jack, you or Hank can remind us, the reason we've supported CASA for 5 years at least with this $40,000 increment or money is the cost of having a Steuben County resident inpatient outside of CASA or outside of the county at another facility is very prohibitive, correct?
It is in some, and it depends upon how the individual arrives there. In some cases, it wouldn't be a direct county cost. In some cases, it would, but it's more of the cost to the residents. So for certainly from an individual resident, I can't really quantify the county cost savings by having this in a real accurate way, but certainly not having a local inpatient treatment and rehab center does cost residents much, much more.
I mean, if they're not going to get funding through this opioid settlement, I would still expect they're going to get to 40,000 when we do the budget. So I don't understand why that one is falling under this category when they were already a budgeted item for the last number of years.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's technically an eligible expense under this grant. So you could certainly do that. Now I didn't see anything about supplanting or any of those. So, you know, that's sort of the question. But again, every budget year you have kind of the yes, no choice on funding those outside agencies or anything, but yeah.
Well, because John asked the obvious question, are these going to be repetitive going forward? If we decide to fund that through this settlement this year, we can't be surprised next year when they come back, when there's not a settlement,
right,
and they want their $40,000, that becomes then an increment in the budget. So just so we're all aware of that.
Yeah, I was a little confused on that too. Which hand are we taking it out of? Are we taking it out of the county, or are we taking it? If we take it out of the grant, then the budget isn't a true budget for next year, because we've been funding it for so long.
Yeah, you've been funding it for 2 years, so it really would be that question of. So what are your intentions long term if they continue to need the money? If your intentions generally are to continue to support it if they request it, then yeah, if you take it out of the budget, you likely would be in a position of putting it back in.
We've been still doing $40,000 more than 2 years, have we?
Maybe three.
Yeah, at least three.
My personal opinion is to spend it out of here rather than our general funds if it's eligible. So
yeah.
So we're already in the budget for 22. We have the $40,000 earmarked.
Right.
Yes.
For them.
This
is not an additional 40,000.
Right.
Just changing the funding mechanism.
Next year.
Right. Although you did say you were going to give them a check. Once we approve this, you would give them their checks. So this year they would get 80,000 if we've already given them the 40.
So if you did that, my intention would be then in the budget to remove the 40 from the local cost share. So that would essentially be the payment for 23.
We could make the contract just effective January 1st, 2023.
Yeah.
This is one of the few items that could pay for itself, though, over time.
Correct.
Right. As pandemic regulations loosen. Because I believe when she was here, she said that they were not at full capacity.
Correct.
Something around 20, 22.
Yeah, and all the inpatient services like that are all billable.
Right.
Any other questions? I think we'll take these individually. So could I have a motion on number one?
So move.
185,100.
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I thought we were going to split it out.
Well, I think, we did. Yeah, I
thought I moved one.
Two, four.
One, two, and four.
Yeah.
So
is that okay to do it that way, Carol?
Okay, so we have a motion.
And I second it.
We can make it work. Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And this would require finance and then full board also, because you're making allocations from that settlement.
Okay, so that's one, two, and four.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to go back and do three individually?
Well, I don't think we actually need to move anything on it, do we? Because are you saying to go ahead and approve it now?
Do you want to table them for more information?
That's up to you, and you will get whether you want to consider it here. You're also going to, if you request it, obviously get more information during the budget process. So, you know,
I move to table 3, 5, and 6 and with the explanation that I'd like more information from CASA on them, including their budget info too.
Is there a second?
Second, second. Anna.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 John, I'm sorry.
So number three, it's got in here year 2022. Can we just do 2023 in that allocation? Because they're already got their 40,000 for this year.
Yeah. So there hasn't been a motion on that. So that wouldn't go forward right now. So as of right now, so the motion passed to table it. So we'll get more information from CASA to bring back to this committee. If it was approved to be allocated, then yes, we could work with Jen, make it effective 23 and take it out of.
Well, my point here is that why use taxpayer money when we can use the opioid settlement to fund this $40,000?
Yeah, I think everybody's in agreement on that. Or are you saying using it for
23? So this
40, yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that, right? Pretty much.
Well, I think we don't need to address it right today.
Well, you don't need to, no. But
that's, I think, because Aaron would like to get a little more information on the.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Which ones were tabled?
3, 5, 6.
Thank you.
Did we have a second?
Yeah. You already got it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All in favor on tabling 3, 5, and 6?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Dr. Chapman? Thanks.
So I do just, will you, what would our plan be on having CASA come in and present specifically on these items to explain it along with the budgetary information that Scott and John were wondering about?
So since
we already did that at the chairman's meeting.
So
these specific items,
not on these items, on the budget,
on
their financials, their audited financial statements.
I think, you know, we could certainly get a written justification that could be sent around to everyone.
Okay.
And then if you want more information, I bet Ann would be willing to come back.
She said she's willing to come back and answer any questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She covered a lot of information during that period of time. Mm-hmm.
So we're in agreement. We're going to request written confirmation of these programs.
Yeah. And Hank, you mind reaching out to Ann to get that, please?
No, that's fine. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thanks, everybody.
Good morning, Darlene.
I have just two items for you this morning. The first one is the preschool contract, a new preschool contract with Kathy Dinwoody. She's a teacher of the visually impaired out of Hornell.
Motion, Mullen.
Second, Cool.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. The next one is preschool transportation bids. I know you're probably getting tired of it by now. I think this is month number three. And this should be the last month. And I apologize, you're just getting this now, but bidding just closed on Friday. So
yeah.
scrambled to get this.
Not the first time.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you. One short.
We're fine.
So these transportation bids honestly are not a lot different than what you've all previously approved. But as you may recall, the reason that I asked you to rescind those approvals and then put it back out to bid was because of the wording in the contract was not as it should have been regarding the alternate bid. So Bernie contesting that. So these bids that have come in again are not a lot different than what you've already approved. Some are a couple more, some are a couple less. I do, however, want to, let me go through for you. The first one, contract A, the low bid is GLOW at 180. These bids are per student per day. Contract B is for Corning Painted Post, Transpo is the low bidder at $46.25. Contract C, Transpo is the low bidder at $175, and this is for the transportation of the Cuca Lake School in Penn Yan. Contract D for Hornell, Bernie is the low bidder at $124. Contract E is for the Hornell BOCES, Bernie is the low bidder at $161.25. I do want to call your attention to contract F because that's new. That has just come up this summer, the middle of this summer. This is for BOCES in Elmira. The low bidder there is Transpo at $595. There's one student who is a Corning Painted Post student. And Corning Painted Post cannot accommodate this student. If you should approve this today, we are actively working with Corning Painted Post to try to come up with something different. We'd like to contract with Corning Painted Post for them to do it, but we're at their mercy if they are willing to do that or not. We are also asking them if all else fails, would they ask for a waiver from the state to increase their class size from 1211 to 1311? I don't know at this point if that's feasible for this particular student and the staff. If 1311 is not doable, then of course Corning Painted Post isn't going to do it. But even if you approve contract F today, I know the price is very high. We are still, that doesn't mean we're just going to be done with it and absorb it. We're going to continue to try to work with Corning Painted Post on trying to come up with something different for this. Yeah.
Why is it our responsibility? Is it our responsibility by law to transport, not the districts?
Yeah. Yep. It's our responsibility to facilitate the transportation, mm-hmm. to meet the transportation needs through contracts.
So why is that specific to preschool transportation?
Preschool special ed, yes. Yeah, that's one area where we've been arguing for decades county's not in the education business, but yet this was dumped on us. I don't even know how many decades ago.
What does it mean to facilitate the transportation
for it?
Pay for it.
through Jen, you can correct me, through contracting, through us facilitating.
We have to contract and we have to pay for it, which is just
the state does reimburse a percentage of that, but it's on the county and it's
that requires us to send them out of district.
For whatever the special needs are. Sometimes, yeah. Like I've had this as a law guardian years ago, where you have an autistic child in the school district, and the closest school would be in Rochester.
Whatever.
And you have to pay for that.
Whatever.
If they choose to go there.
Whatever placement the Committee on Special Ed places the child or identifies that the child needs to go in these cases. If it's a K through 12, that's a school district mm-hmm. responsibility. If it's preschool, under state law, it's our responsibility. Yeah,
the EIP, the early intervention program assessment, tells you what you have to do, and county pays for that transport.
So it just almost seems like it would be cheaper to pay for a teacher to be in the school district.
Yeah, $5.95 a day is a lot. We're gonna, again, if you should approve this, we're gonna reach out to Transpo and just say, look, you know, you've been awarded, you know, these different contracts. Is there anything different that you could do for this particular contract, this particular student? Parents are requesting that they go to BOCES in Elmira, as well as the school district is saying that they don't believe in-house that they can meet the needs. So it's kind of the two of them together saying that the BOCES in Elmira is the best placement. Okay, fine. But is there can we come up with a different solution on transportation? So we will be reaching out to Transpo to ask, you know.
I'm going to put a bid in.
Yeah, I know. Let's buy a van and
we have taken this
actually
to
could
court
the county transport
and lost over that. We what?
I'm not
so we've taken this to court and lost before.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any county that has gone that route. I don't know if it's legal or permissible under statute, but I'm not aware of any yeah. county that actually provides transportation.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any either. And I'm aware of a couple of counties, as Mr. Swackhammer said, that have litigated this issue. And that is also a county cost to litigation, the assessment that falls back on the county to contest it. So
it's one of the terrible quirks in state law that this responsibility got placed on counties.
Yep.
So it sounds like there is. It's not whether we approve, we're obligated to approve.
We are required to facilitate and pay for the transportation. Well, now if there is.
Was this the only bid you received on that, Darlene? For the
Well, no, Bernie bid, but they came in at 602.
Right. Why are we? Oh, because Alt 1 was $5.95.
Yes, Transpo is $5.95, so that's the cheaper bid.
How many days is this for? How many days? Yeah, but is it 100 and, or is it like 200 days?
180 days.
Because it seems like for $107,000, we could have somebody, or some of our own people do it.
John?
So on all these bids sitting out there based on the number of students that we'd have to transport, what is the total yearly figure?
I don't have that in front of me. I can, it's hard to quantify because how many students we have today doesn't mean that's how many students we're going to have in September or in October or November, but I can go back and do the math and send
that
to you.
What did we spend last year? Do we have any idea for the?
I can look that up.
I don't have that in front of me. I apologize.
We can get you that data.
Yep, I can.
Okay, so do we have a motion to accept these bids?
I'll move A through E.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Yeah, he didn't approve that.
I'd like to rebid it, or I'm not going to vote to approve it. I think we should look at taking them ourselves.
I don't know. I will have to check on physical needs, mental needs of this student. I don't know if physically that, you know, I don't know if we can meet the needs of this student. I will tell you, I don't believe rebidding these are the only two companies that ever bid, Bernie and Transpo, because we lost Durham a couple of years ago.
I think we, Jen and I were talking, I mean, negotiate with them to try to get the cost down. Ultimately, unfortunately, we're going to be responsible for it one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I think the best that we can do is to negotiate with them to try to get the lowest possible cost.
And that is exactly what we plan to do. And to be frank, the reason I was about 5 minutes late coming to this meeting this morning is I was waiting for a phone call back from CPP to see if they, because we asked them, you know, when we saw this bid come in, we're like, look, we can't, you're asking a lot here. And, you know, is there something else we can do? And, you know, they sounded like they were going to try to come up with something, but they have yet to offer us anything. And I was expecting a call this morning.
Yeah.
Didn't get it. That's why I was 5 minutes late.
Have we done anything in the past in terms of varying the terms of the contract, whether it be a monthly contract or something along those lines?
I can't say, I'm not sure, before
fuel costs,
what happened before me, but I don't think in the last 8 years I can recall. I don't think we've had this specific extreme situation come up like
we
this.
Have not. No, I can't recall
contracts
it.
With Bernie. So I think they're not going to be very, to be honest, I don't think they're going to be very motivated to contract with us directly. On the, you know, we're saying, don't you go down to Elmira or close anyway for something. But I'm not so sure that they're really going to be all that motivated to contract with us directly, like I requested, to try to offset this high cost of transportation and this child.
When do we have to enter into the contract?
This month, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, school starts the beginning of September. They like to do all these transportation companies. They like to do a dry run, so to speak. You know, they pull up their roster of addresses. Their driver goes there, and they time it, and then they drive to the school and so it's for their timing. So they like to have August to do that.
John, you had a question.
Yeah. So from a legal standpoint, if we don't approve and provide this transportation, where does that leave us, Jen?
Probably litigation, because we're not providing it under state law. I guess my advice would be, because of the timing, these contracts all have a 30-day termination clause in them. So we could award today, enter into the contract, get it in place, and do it and terminate it in 30 days.
I'm comfortable. I will vote for it if you convey to them that we may terminate it within 30 days, that we may terminate it within 30 days. If something doesn't get worked out.
That's in the contract.
I'll vote for that.
So,
but I mean, let them know when we're signing it.
Okay. Yeah. They're aware, because we terminated it during COVID because we weren't transporting and we were getting billed.
We will diligently work on this with both CPP and Transpo to try to come up
Like Darlene said, a lot is yet to be determined, because who knows what placement is going to be appropriate for the child. It could change very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to know what the needs are as whether we can actually do it.
Whether we can do it ourselves, we could save a ton of money. And I just think we keep turning our backs on that question. I mean, is it possible?
What are we going to do it with? A county car?
We don't know
what
the
if
needs.
This person that's, is in a wheelchair,
right? We don't know the needs.
Try to figure out, yeah.
For that amount of money, can make assumptions that it's a high level of need.
Yeah, I'm not happy about this at all. But I mean, I know a lot of people who have kids that go to these special facilities, and 60% of the time they're not able to go on a day. So I mean, yes, this could be a $100,000 ticket over the course of the year if the kid attended every single day, but a lot of the time they won't even go to school because they have issues. And if you think about it from the contractor standpoint, they have to dedicate a bus to run one student outside of the district, so they have to cover their costs as well. I mean, that bus might be able to run other things throughout the day, but every single day they have to show up at this person's house to pick up their child, whether the kid can make it to class or not.
Well, that may be the case, but I don't think we know the data on what the need is. I know when I used to go to school, the BOCES runs were different from the school time runs. So they could use other buses and drivers. And we don't know. I'd like to know whether we could just pay for a teacher to be in the district. And that, you know, that may be $70,000 instead of 107. We don't know what the needs are.
It's a large price to pay based on assumptions. And I just think we need a little bit more information.
Fred?
I'd like to point out that not just anybody with any kind of a vehicle can transport students, period. There are state regulations regarding that. And it may require special licensing, a special inspection of the vehicle. It's not that simple that we can just send a county vehicle to transport these kids.
We can get certainly all the data and information that, that you'd like, but even regular pickups or whatever are 6 months out. If it was a specialized vehicle, you know, it'd be a, probably a year before we got it, along with hiring staff, a staff member to do it. But we can
mention the additional liability.
Yeah, we could get the information. I mean, this is one that, thankfully, for a lot of years back in the early 2000s, I mean, early to mid 2000s, when I first came here, you know, Mark shared that this was one of the costs that was dramatically increasing. And we've had a lot of years of pretty stable cost. A lot of counties are in kind of the position that we're in, that it's so expensive for them that it's something that they talk about all the time. It hasn't been that for us. And I'm not saying that it's better or that makes should make you feel better about it, but it's just one of those terrible state laws that, you know, we've been advocating for a lot of years to change. That just doesn't make a lot of sense for the county to be in the education business in this one particular instance.
So since we have, I'm sorry, Gary.
Yeah, this isn't a new argument. As Jack has said, there was well before his time that we went to the courts. We had a person, a student, have to go to Mount Morris, another one to Rochester. We looked into transportation ourselves, and so this isn't the first go around with this type of thing. And as Jack just said, this is one that's increased, and there's nothing we can do about it. When the parent requests and school district requests a certain thing, the judges will back it up.
Okay, so to put this to bed, do we have a motion to approve contract F?
Yeah, I'll make the motion on it with it.
I'll second it, Hannah.
All right, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay. Sorry.
Jack, do you have
anything? I'm sorry, before we move on, can I just clarify what you would like from me moving forward? I know that I'm going to continue to negotiate with Transpo and with CPP. And I know, John, at a minimum, you're looking for the annual cost, which I'll provide. Am I looking into the needs of the child?
I'd like to know. I mean, this is my opinion on it. I'd like to know what the issue is that the cost is so high. I mean, and to just try and do whatever you can to get the cost down. I mean, maybe there's an intermunicipal agreement we could enter into with Addison to take him down.
Into privacy issues.
But I would be specifically generic as you can.
Yeah. I could probably at least find out, like, if they're in a wheelchair,
a lift.
Yeah, what sort of transport? And I would just email it to all legislators.
Okay. Yep.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move it. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much.